step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Identifying.
Let's go.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you.
Good morning and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and man, it's a slam-packed show full of guests today. We got none other than Formula Drift Long Beach winner and 2009 Formula Drift champion, Chris Forsberg. He's going to be calling in here in just a few minutes. Then following him, we're going to have Adrian Chenny, the wild man, the first person ever to barrel roll a truck. He's going to be calling in, talking about his big torque win to kick off the 2014 Torque Series in Prim a week ago. And then we're also going to have an interview that I did with Brian Olashak from Race Tech Seats. We're going to be talking motorsport safety, both off-road, drifting, rally, drag racing, just all kinds of safety. Short, quick interview, and should be really cool, and tell us a little bit about how Race Tech is raising the bar with seating safety in race cars. So lots of fun, and not only with the guests we have today, but man, we had some Supercross over the weekend, we had some Formula Off-Road, we had the Motegi Super Drift Challenge, and we also had the Arctic Man up in Alaska. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Arctic Man. A lot of you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm talking about one of the most, I don't want to say grueling races, but one of the most insane motorsports events, hybrids anywhere. We're going to be talking about that later on in the show. But right now we're going to skip over. It looks like we got Chris Forsberg calling in. We're going to talk with the Long Beach champ from a couple of weeks ago. How's everything going, Chris?
Very good. How are you doing, Jim?
I am doing good, my friend. I got to say, you've got to be a little bit on cloud nine right now, starting off the year with a big win at Long Beach. Got to be, a great feeling going into the rest of the 2014 Formula Drift season.
Oh, yeah, it's great. You know, any time you get an event win, it's just a great, boost of confidence and motivation for the rest of the team as well. You know, we put in a lot of hours, rebuilding these cars and getting prepped up for the season. So, yeah, just hitting the ground running is the best situation anyone could ask for.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, last year, 2013, you were so close to the championship, literally went down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
You go home this offseason, you do your homework, you come back, and I got to say, man, your car this year just, you brought a level of intensity. I mean, the car being the all-black carbon, I mean, it just looks evil, I mean, it almost seems like you've got something to prove this year.
I heard that from a couple people, and I wouldn't really say we have, something to prove this year versus any other year, but we did want to change up the look drastically. I've been running a primarily orange and black with blue car since the beginning of our NOSH relationship in 2008. And with the opening of, us looking for a new primary sponsor for the rest of this season into the following years, of course, we wanted to change the look up dramatically so it didn't just look like we peeled a sticker off the car, so to speak. And with our partnership with Save on Carbon, we wanted to do something that was really trick and have a full raw carbon car that no one else has really done before in the sport of drifting, Formula Drift, that is.
Yeah, I got to say, man, there's something, all of us have carbon fiber panels and stuff on our cars, but there's something about a car that's just all carbon that just, I don't know, it just looks cool, man. It's I don't know, something you can't replicate with paint,
Yeah, no, thanks. I do really like it. I mean, we added a couple touches to it, so it didn't just look like it was unfinished. It was, thought out. We added, a couple graphics to it, and Even drop some gloss paint here and there to put some striping to it. But I really do like the way the car came out, and the couple other things that we did this off season for getting ready for this year. The biggest difference that made it such a difference, especially in the tandem part of the event, is the addition of nitrous. We put nitrous on the car because our car actually, despite it making a ton of horsepower, is still the smallest V8 in the field. It's a 5.6 liter, so we're making making less torque than even some of the turbo four-cylinder applications, around like 500, 550. So we added nitrous to it to get a big boost in the mid-range so we wouldn't get hung up behind slower cars like what happened a few times in the past, and that just made it for just amazing tandem driving for us.
Well, and here's the question. I mean, with the shot of nitrous that you guys have, you know, with the car, is it something that you're going to, you know, obviously I know, you know, I read some of the interviews and stuff, and you definitely have used it at Long Beach. Is it something, you know, you're pretty familiar with a lot of these venues that Formula Drift goes to? Is it something you're going to use at every venue, or do you think it's just something that you'll selectively use here and there?
No, we'll definitely be using it at every venue. I mean, Long Beach will probably be the one where we might not have needed it because it's probably the smallest course that we run, but it's still just that scenario where we want to set up our car to work, as fast and as smooth as possible in the lead. But then when you get behind a potentially slower car and you're, you know, down 2,000 RPM, and if you're falling out of the power band, the car's going to straighten out. So now with that extra kick, it keeps the car, nice and free and easy to drive all the way through.
Well, in talking about, you know, the off-season changes you guys made to your car, I mean, you know, you've been with, Formula Drifts in its 11th year here in the States now, and obviously, you know, you've been there since day one. I mean, guys like you and Vaughn, I mean, you helped, you've helped build this into what it is. I mean, you know, the past, 11 years, I mean, you know, as far as car technology, I know I've talked with Vaughn in the past about this, but I kind of want to get your feeling. I mean, you know, you guys, you know, started out where I know, you know, a lot of you guys were, you know, tuning your cars in your garage. It was something you did, you know what I mean, in front of your house. And, you know, we've got today where, I mean, you guys are running, you know, I would say, you know, NASCAR level, you know, you guys have engineers there. I mean, you guys have haulers. I mean, the bar has been raised so much in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's the growth of the car builds has been the fastest among anything involved with drifting. It's, you know, the level of, you know, the engines and the suspension and the chassis, and like you're saying, I mean, we're even bringing engineers to the track, engine tuners, making sure these things are running 100%. And yeah, the amount of adjustability that we have in these cars is incredible now, like between, you know, shocks and sway bars and corner weighting and even the engines itself with nitrous and, you know, some turbo applications. I mean, people are really just dialing in their car to be the best it can be for each venue. I mean, we don't run the same setup at any two venues, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, and in the past 11 years, I mean, as far as, the, you know, you've been all over the United States. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, Formula Drift going, you know, into a world championship next year. But, you know, in the past, you know, 10, 11 years, I mean, you know, you were there, you know, when this sport was really, I don't even want to call it a sport yet. It was just, you know, it was something that not a lot of people know knew about. I mean, what have you seen some of the changes? I mean, you know, aside from the cars in the past 10, 11 years, I mean, you guys go to a venue, and I mean, it's a packed house now. I mean, this is, you know, if Formula Drift comes to town, that's what you do that weekend, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, 11 years ago, it was hardly even recognized as a sport. I mean, yeah, like you said, I don't even know if I would call it a sport. It was a bunch of kids sliding their cars around. I mean, it was Formula Drift, but it was still just, not exactly professional yet. There was a few guys, you know, having some nice quality builds and, nice pit spaces and such. But for the most part, it was, you know, a lot of people still trying to figure out if this was going to be like a two-year fad or if it was going to become a professional series. And, you know, with the growth of the sport has come, you know, more sponsors and so more responsibility. And like, there's almost every team has a pretty large hauler now. Everyone has very activated pit spaces, trying to draw in the crowd. It's one of the only types of races that has open pits, you know, so the fans are coming right up to the drivers and the cars, checking it out. And so it just really makes it for a super fun, interactive weekend. It doesn't really compare to too many other forms of racing.
Yeah, it's almost, you know, it's an event type atmosphere. You know, there's just so much going around, so much going happening around these events. It's, you know, it's totally, you know, it's become, you know, spread over a couple of days, and people can come and go and rub elbows with you guys and come up and, you know, it really is, you know, not replicated anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it fun and interesting. I mean, and that also trickles down to, like, even the grassroots events that, like, myself and Vaughn and Ryan Turk and some of our other buddies will still go to. It's you know, we do this because we love drifting in itself, and it's not just because we want to go be, you know, a professional drifter and then hide in our trailer all day. Like, we like going to the events and driving with our friends, and even, like, at the practice events, like, at our local Club Loose English Town events, like, we're out there driving either our practice car. Sometimes we'll take out the pro cars to do some testing, but it's still just, like you said, it's an event, it's fun, it's more of a, you know, atmosphere than it is just like a spectating event.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I know, you know, obviously you won the 2009 championship. You've been there since day one. I mean, you know, let's talk a little bit about the competition level in Formula Drift, because, I mean, just in the past couple of years, it seems like past 3 to 4 years, I mean, the competition level, I mean, it's been, you know, it's been tough, you know, tough to win a championship since day one. But, I mean, it seems like, you know, especially in the past 3 years, I mean, that competition level, everybody's bringing their A game. I mean, it used to be, you know, let's face it, you know, there was 10, maybe 12 guys that had a shot at winning. And now it seems like, you know, that's definitely doubled. You know, there's, you know, you just every single round you guys are going up against. I mean, it's a battle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The in the early years, there's, you know, a few standout drivers, maybe, like you said, 10 to 12 that were really, you know, crushing through the course and running good tandem. And, you know, that number obviously grows with every year. With, you know, the growth of drifting in itself, there's also the forms of pro-am events and licensing events that are, you know, giving these drivers places to go locally and then nationally and then going up through the ranks to earn their what we now require as a Formula Drift license to run with us. So we're really just funneling down the drivers to get, you know, the best of the best in the country and even the world. We have, you know, international champions coming over every year when they see the growth of Formula Drift game bigger and bigger. You got champions coming from Ireland, from the UK, from Japan, you know, from South Africa, and even Dominican Republic, and all these other countries. So, like, you're just getting literally Formula Drift has become the epicenter of the best drifting in the world. And so, like, with every year comes more talent. I think we have 70 some licensed drivers at this point, with about 50 to 60 coming to each event. So it's come to a point where it's sparked Formula Drift to make a change, and so now we have for this season is the first time they're doing a Pro 1, Pro 2 class in which the drivers that run Pro 1, that's like top level, and then Pro 2 is drivers that are qualified 17th or below in the Formula Drift rankings are able to run this Pro 2 class, and then funneling into next year, it's actually going to be a completely separate like a top 32 to say top 40 limited field for Pro 1, and then everyone else will have to earn their way into Pro 1 through Pro 2.
Nice. Now, you know, talking about next year, I know all these changes, you know, I think the biggest one, you know, heading into next year is, you know, obviously, you know, there's been Formula Drift events worldwide, but, you know, now there's going to be this unified world championship. I mean, that's got to be pretty exciting for you to, you know, to be able to compete and be able to, you know, at some point, you know, hopefully can call yourself a world champion.
Yeah, it's definitely a big change, and it will be pretty exciting for the drivers that will be able to do that, so to speak, series. Formula Drift has been kind of laying the groundwork, getting all these things lined up so that they have, you know, these affiliates to call themselves a World Series. They've been working with, you know, Formula Drift Asia, running over in Malaysia and Thailand, Indonesia, and they've been doing events in Australia. And now this year they're going to do a Formula Drift in Japan. And so next year they're just going to unify them all into one points championship to make, yeah, a quote-unquote Formula Drift world champion.
Yeah, it should be pretty exciting. I mean, I just, you know, I've been a fan of Formula Drift forever, and it's just, you know, to me it's, every year it's kind of cool to see what rolls out and how things progress. And, you know, to see guys like you who have been there since day one and see you build your personal brands and your car changes every year. And just to see the technology that you guys have into your cars, I mean, to me, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. It's hard to keep up with sometimes, and even to think back and even, like, just watching, like, you know, videos from a few years ago to think that we were, you know, the best back then, and then watching now, it's like it just keeps getting better and better and better. And, like, the battles are getting closer and the cars are getting faster and, you know, more dialed, and we're putting them on the wall every lap now. And it's just, you know, you kind of wonder, like, if it can, you know, keep growing, and every year it does. So that's what makes it pretty intense. And, we're in it for the long haul. I'm been a drifter since day one, and that's the sport I want to do. It's not like I'm trying to build this up to get to another sport. I mean, I like to, you know, dabble with other sports here and there, but I'm not using drifting as a stepping stone. I want to see this through and see how far we can take it.
All right. Now, I got two or three rapid-fire kind of questions, and you can take a little time with them if you want. But, everybody, found out you were going to be on air, and, you know, I always get hit with some emails and Twitter tags and stuff like that, questions for drivers. So first one up, what's your favorite track you guys run or have run in the past? And if you could design your own drift course, what would it be?
Ooh, I've always said Atlanta. Atlanta's always been my favorite track, just because of the overall layout. It's more than just the venue itself, the track itself, which is, you know, very fast entry, like five total corners. It's one of the longest tracks that we run, and it's in this kind of like valley with like grass seating, and just makes for like a spectacle type of event. But then in the back of my head, like, Seattle was always my second favorite, and we actually have better results in Seattle, so I'm kind of at a toss-up, but I think I still lean towards Atlanta just as being one of the most fun venues, especially for spectators.
Very cool. Yeah.
And as far as designing my own track, it would be, I would like to see, like, some more, like, high-speed stuff. One of the most fun tracks that we ever ran was the Red Bull World Championship back in 2008 that Reese Millen designed. So it was designed by a driver, very similar to how I would design it. It was, like, 110 mile an hour entry, handbrake up right up into sliding along the wall at about 80 miles an hour, and just went into like three big sweeping corners. It never really did that real dip down to like a hairpin style turn. It just, like, the momentum was up the whole time. You're just like running at like 60 to, you know, 90 miles an hour the whole time.
Yeah, super high speed and just, that's pretty cool. You know, it seems like, a lot of these courses are designed so you guys don't keep that speed factor up, and you got to get into some tight technical corners. I think it would be cool to see, another course design that's pretty balls out the whole way.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Next up, I know over the years you've driven, just in your personal life and drifting, you know, you had a ton of different cars. What's your favorite car? Can be either drift car or just street car. What's your favorite car?
It's kind of hard to say. Like, my favorite car that we've ever built was my M56, the four seater V8 powered Infiniti M that I built. That was designed to be like a ride along car. It's very long, which makes it really fun to drive. It wouldn't make for a good competitive car because it just takes up so much room on the track and it's slow for transitions, but you can really like hang the angle out. And, you know, when you have one of the best parts about drifting is giving rides and just giving that feeling of adrenaline to, you know, other, people that, you know, come out to watch drifting, but never really get to experience it as a driver. So that car specifically, putting three people in there and just running around and just having smiles on everyone's faces is definitely the most fun that I get to have in drifting.
Here's a question. This is a side question for me. You've done a ton of ride-alongs over the years. You have any experience with anybody that rode along that stands out in your mind? I mean, just somebody that, you know, screamed, ralphed, anything. I mean, any stories that just stick out in your mind from ride-alongs?
I mean, I've had a few people that just kind of, you know, like hoot and holler the whole time, and it's always fun to see people get animated. The one time I took a reporter woman for a ride at Irwindale, and, you know, she seemed like, you know, she was ready to go and all into it and all smiles, and when the car came around to a stop after the lap, you know, with her window, we're up on the bank, we're coming down to the lower wall. She was like practically shaking, and like someone like had to help her like out of the car, and she just kind of like stood there with this look of like, I have no idea like what just happened type thing. So it was like, it was cool to like, you know, obviously nothing, like we didn't hit anything, nothing happened, but it was just this look of like she had no idea what she was getting herself into.
Oh, all right, next up, I know, you know, obviously, you're dedicated to this drift. Any chance, you know, you'd ever want to have anything else? I know, like, I've heard Vaughn going to do stadium super trucks at the X Games. I mean, any chance, you know, given the opportunity, you'd love to, you know, run a rally car, global rally cross, maybe an off-road short course truck or something?
Yeah, I've always loved off-road short course truck racing. I went to a bunch of the Lucas races and Torque races, over the years, and been kind of following it here and there, especially when Nissan was, like, heavily involved. I was out there, like, watching the team and seeing, you know, Carl and those guys run around. And it's definitely, like, I think the most suited form of racing that goes with drifting. The stadium supercross is, or not supercross, the stadium super trucks is very similar in that. There's like a lot more pavement and, you know, it's a much tighter, more spec type of racing. So, I mean, I could see that being a pretty similar feel. I mean, it's definitely a new sport. It just came out last year. And I went to a couple of those races last year, and also just very exciting, very fun to watch. And, you know, just the you know, sliding the trucks around and just being door-to-door with other guys, like bumping and grinding and, you know, obviously throwing some jumps in there. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to put you on the spot on this last one. They're a good friend of mine, good partner in the show. What's your favorite Hoonigan shirt?
Ooh, let me see. Favorite one would probably be I guess the one that I seem to wear the most is a Tire Slayer shirt. It makes the most sense, obviously, for what we do. But probably my favorite one is the sensor bar that just runs down the shirt, the full sensor bar frontal shirt.
Nice.
The repeat, if you will.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I think they've got them in blue and red and a couple other colors. Very cool.
Yeah, I wear the blue one a lot.
All right, note to Brian Scotto, you need to get Chris some more of the repeat sensor bar shirts. He's wearing through them. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call in and have a little fun, and congratulations on the Long Beach win, and looking forward to seeing you battle for that championship this year in 2014.
Yeah, thank you, man. It was good talking to you. You know, it's always fun to talk to people outside of drifting, you know, especially with the off-road truck stuff. It's one of my other passions, and you know, thanks for having me on, and we'll do our best this year.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Chris.
Yep, thank you. Talk to you later.
You too. All right, 2014 Formula Drift Long Beach winner Chris Forsberg also got a tie-in with the rally community here. Just some of this information that I've got, this wealth information, so to speak. Yeah, the Dirtfish Mechanic, our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School, Dirtfish Rally School Mechanic, and Travis Pastrana's mechanic from last year from Travis Pastrana Racing, his actual mechanic of the year, Dylan Hughes, was at Long Beach as a mechanic for Chris Forsberg. So there's your tie-in. Dirtfish Rally Mechanic, Travis Pastrana, mechanic of the year, Dylan Hughes, also works for Chris Forsberg, and he was in the pits in the paddock at Long Beach. So lots of news and information always here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. You know, a lot of it useless information, but hey, I fill you full of it anyways. But yeah, speaking of Formula Drift, obviously, you know, Long Beach was last weekend. They had the Motegi Super Drift Challenge this past weekend, a follow-up event. It's kind of cool because, you know, Formula Drift runs a weekend before Long Beach. This allows one of the events to kind of run in conjunction with the IndyCar race. So always cool that they add this. Basically, it's a non-points event, $25,000 purse. They invite 16 drivers, the best drivers out. And I got to give a big shout-out to Daigo Sato, who took the win in his Lexus. So big win for Daigo Sato. Took a huge portion of that $25,000 purse home, and congratulations goes out to him. You know, it's going to be a fun year for Formula Drift this year. I got to tell you, you know, it's going to be wild, and you know, every year's wild with Formula Drift, but this year just seems like in particular. I know, you know, obviously Chris Forsberg, he looks like he's on a mission, man. Such an amazing event he had at Long Beach, and that car you got to pull up the pictures. This thing with the all black carbon body just looks mean and evil, you know. So obviously he's brought his A game. I know Vaughn, he's definitely stepped his game up in the past year or two. Not that everybody else hasn't. I mean, you just have to. The competition level's so high now. I think Ryan Turkey's got that. You know, I guess it was a new car last year, and he's ironing out. Spent last year, a lot of last year ironing out, some of the mechanics behind it. And I think he's his car is going to be super competitive this year. I'm just, so excited about the Formula Drift season. I mean, year number 11, I've been a fan of, Formula Drift since year one, and here we are year 11. And I think, there was a lot of naysayers in the early days, year two and three. It's just a fad. It's never going to get legs. It's just a bunch of guys sliding around, and here they are 11 years later, still doing it. In 2015, they're expanding to a world championship of drifting. I think it's definitely here to stay. It's very cool. And I think it's cool that, like we call them action motorsports, something like this that's judged, it's not the fastest time. It's all about, it's judged, and it's about the technicalities, and a sport like that can definitely, pack stadiums and pack venues. I think it's pretty amazing. So definitely looking forward to the 2014 Formula Drift season. And congrats goes out to Chris Forsberg on his big win at Long Beach. We're going to take a short break here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. When we come back, we're going to have the wild man, Adrian Chenny. He's going to be calling in. We're going to talk barrel rolls. We're going to talk torque. We're going to talk who knows what's going to come up with the wild man. And we're going to find out what these wild man bites are. You've been hearing about wild man bites for the past year, and you know what? I'm going to tell Chenny he needs to mail some wild man bites out to me. I need to try these things out. So we'll be back here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show in about 4 or 5 minutes with Adrian Chenny.
Dirtfish Rally School is the premier rally driving school on the West Coast, located in Snoqualmie, Washington. If you are looking for a ton of fun with world-class driving instructors honing your skills, Dirtfish is the place for you. Dirtfish has 315 acres of playground with mixed surfaces for your driving experience. You can spend anywhere from 2 hours to 3 intense days of instruction refining your driving and racing skills. Whether you are looking for credits towards your Rally America license, honing your racing skills, or just having a fun time, Dirtfish is your school. Your classroom is behind wheel of a 300-horsepower, rally-prepped Subaru STI. These cars have protective cages, suspension modifications, and are built for one purpose, to push you to your limit. By the end of your time at Dirtfish, you will have the confidence to rally with the best. Whether you're looking for a thrilling first-time rally experience or to increase your knowledge and time in the driver's seat, Dirtfish has a driving experience to suit your needs. For any information on their classes, corporate events, or their facility, check them out on the web at www.dirtfish.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dirtfish Rally. Rigid Industries is the original and number one LED light bar manufacturer in the world. Torture tested by some of the best drivers in motorsports, Rigid LED lighting products use cutting-edge technology and can stand up to the harshest conditions Mother Nature can dish out. Designed, engineered, and assembled in the United States, Rigid LED lighting is the only choice for your off-road vehicle or boat. Find out more information on the entire line of Rigid Industries LED lighting products at www.rigidindustries.com. Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are Hans compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners. And for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Ford is taking the EcoBoost Challenge coast to coast, asking people like you to test drive Ford versus our leading competitors.
We want to find out which vehicle you prefer, and may the best car win.
I live. I've never driven a Ford before, and I'm impressed.
They're experiencing the power and efficiency of available EcoBoost engine technology.
Wow, this car can go.
It blew the competition away for me.
Ford is totally on my radar now.
During the EcoBoost Challenge, see the amazing mix of performance and fuel efficiency of EcoBoost technology. Get up to $1,500 challenge cash on a new EcoBoost-powered Ford vehicle. Hurry to your Arizona Ford dealer today. $1,500 challenge cash includes $1,000 challenge customer cash and $500 EcoBoost bonus cash. EcoBoost bonus cash offer available on 13 and 14 model year EcoBoost equipped vehicles. Challenge cash available on 2014 Ford vehicles. Challenge cash excludes Focus ST, S Electric, Mustang Shelby, Boss, F-150 Raptor, and Transit Connect. Transit Connect.
Take retail delivery by 4th and details.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirt Fish Rally School. I'm your host, Jim Beaver. We just got done with Formula Drift Long Beach champ Chris Forsberg, and big shout-out to Chris for calling in. I know after Long Beach, I think he flew to Mexico City, did some stuff down there, and just got back into the country. So big thanks to him. I'm sure he's fighting a little bit of jet lag, and calling into the show, and good times with Chris and all of our drift buddies. Love getting the drifting guys on air and talking with them, and definitely something we're going to be covering even more in depth this year. So be watching for it. But we got to Adrian Chenny. He's going to be calling in here in just a minute or two. We're going to be talking barrel rolls and torque wins, and who knows what else we're going to get into with the wild man. As always, Chenny involved in so many different things, but should be fun. And don't forget, we got Brian Olashak from Racetech Seats. Got an interview we're going to air that I did with him last week, and we're going to be talking about safety in motorsports and some of the forces on the body, when we get into these crazy accidents like you saw Ari Lyandike Jr. in, just a couple of weeks ago. So definitely want to be looking for that later on in the show. We're also going to be talking Arctic Man, Supercross, and a little bit of Formula Off-Road from Long Beach. And speaking of Long Beach, got to tell you, I'm going to tie this in with some Global Rallycross. Obviously I was out at GRC Media Day about a week or so ago, and spent some time in the Long Beach area, Port of L.A., Port of San Pedro, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, it's all the same area or within a few miles of each other. And, the venue that Global Rallycross has picked out there on that point overlooking the ocean, absolutely amazing. You see the Long Beach Grand Prix and how many people are there for the Long Beach Grand Prix. And, just an amazing venue there around the water. And they've called it, Monaco – the Western Monaco, I think I've heard it called before, and you know, obviously talking about the Formula One race in Monaco, but you know, I think you know, this global rallycross race, from what I've seen, and I've seen their vision and what Red Bull wants to happen, and I think you know, you see the Long Beach Grand Prix in the spring, and I think that this global rallycross event that they're putting on in Long Beach in the, you know, obviously it's not in the in the spring, but later on in the year, I think it could be almost like a second second Long Beach Grand Prix caliber event in that area. I think it, it truly could, and I would expect a packed house when that event kicks off later on this year. So, you know, if you got a chance, get your tickets early, because I think that that's going to pack up. But right now, it looks like we got Adrian Chenny calling in. We'll see if we can pick Adrian up. How's everything going, Adrian?
Very good, thanks. Is this Jim?
Yeah, this is Jim. You're live on the air, my friend.
Wow. Well, hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, you know, wanted to touch base. I think it's been, I don't know, it's been a year and a half since we've had you on air, and I think, you know, a lot's changed since then. I know at that point you were still trying to perfect this barrel roll, and if I remember, you hadn't even actually landed it yet. And we're going to talk about your big torque win, but I want to first talk a little bit about this barrel roll, because, you know, you went down to the Baja 1000, you know, last year, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, we'd seen pictures of you attempting it. Nobody had ever known if you really had landed it yet or not. And you go down there, and first try, bam, out of the box, just dialed, and you landed it.
Yeah, it was, it's when you put everything on the line like that, and it works out, it's really very relieving and very exciting. And that's what we were looking for. We were looking for a nice big venue to kind of have the crescendo to the barrel roll. I've been working on that since 2010. Got hurt doing it, and then logistically, you would not, you know, believe how difficult it is to be able to just do something like that between, you know, liability and a place to do it and practice it. And, you know, it's a pretty tall order. But, yeah, finally got to a point where we got comfortable enough with it that we can go and do it in front of a big crowd and was able to pull it off.
Well, and you know, I know you said, you know, you've been doing it since 2010, and over the course of, you know, the past couple, 2-3 years, you know, I know you were out there at, I guess, what is the old Speed World at one point, trying it. How is the actual takeoff? I mean, because, you know, now you've got this, you know, this takeoff ramp that, you know what I mean? You can tell you've put a lot of engineering into that, getting it just right. I mean, you know, how have things changed since the beginning? Let's put it that way.
A lot. Well, it started out kind of like, you know, hold my beer, let me try this type of attitude, and then that really quickly morphed into, okay, we got to really dial this in. And there was a couple of epiphanies along the way to be able to get to do this on a successful basis. One was to get the truck weightless. And because when we started out, I was doing it similar to what the way it's been done before, where Hot Wheels did something. I think they have like a fall-away ramp, and I think the same thing with Rob Diadec. He has a ramp which is also like a trick ramp or a fall-away ramp. So, you know, the problem with the truck and what they ran into as well, and I think the reason why they have these landing ramps and it wasn't a full 360, is that the wheel that's still on the ground when you start the rotation causes too much drag that you can't get a full rotation. So what I came up with is, okay, let's get the truck airborne for a split second, and then you can basically take it by hand and you can rotate the truck. You know, so once it's airborne, you're in good shape. So the ramp is actually two jumps. It's just a regular jump, like you would go over at any Torque or Lucas race, and then it goes into a kick jump, which is a kind of a more of a vertical jump, almost like a motocross style jump, which would be a straight up and down pop-up type jump, but it's only half of it. It just hits the one side of the wheels, and then that starts the rotation, and it's somewhat violent, so you have to, you know, kind of get used to it.
Yeah, it looked, I mean, it's, you know, once you hit that second jump, I mean, it was like snap, that truck, you know what I mean? It was, you know, pretty quick rotation. At that point, you're just along for the ride, I guess, huh?
Yeah, the this, most of doing this is in the setup. The execution, there are some critical components, but a lot of it is the dialing it in. Once it's dialed in, it's repeatable. And you could put somebody else in the truck that has to do, you basically have to do two things. You have to maintain a certain speed, and you also have to hit your marks, because if you don't hit the kicker on the right spot on the tire, let's say you're off by a few inches, the A arm can scrape the jump ramp or the kicker as you're hitting it, and then you won't rotate, and then you'll come up short. So there's not a ton of margin for error, but there is a little bit. But you really have to hit your mark. So once you've got it dialed in, if you can come up to the ramp and keep your nerve enough to hit it in the right spot, and then also maintain your speed in the right spot, then you're going to be okay. But to do both of those things is not that easy.
Yeah, it's pretty, I can only imagine. I mean, it's got to be pretty precise, the marks you've got to hit and the speed and keeping everything together. It's got to be, it's a precise trick.
Yeah, and actually, case in point, that barrel down in Mexico at Ensenada wasn't actually we actually had an issue with that. It wasn't perfect. It ended up okay, which, thank goodness, that means that there is a little bit of margin for error. But what we try to do was we try to take out the variable of maintaining your speed. So what we did was we installed a GPS tracker, which governed your speed to, I believe we had set it to 48 miles an hour. Well, as I went under the bridge, because it was the barrel was set up the way we had to do it for landing, it was right as the trophy trucks and everybody came into the wash down at Ensenada, and then you went under a bridge. Well, we did it the opposite way, where we had a long run up in the wash, jumped did the barrel and was landing. We didn't have a lot of room to stop, so I actually went under the bridge right before you hit the ramp. Well, the GPS lost signal, so I didn't have any acceleration going up the ramp to do the barrel roll, and it was actually decelerating. And so when I was halfway doing the turn, doing the roll, I was thinking I was not going to make it, because it was very slow compared to the way it normally does it. And we can see in the way it landed, it kind of landed flat on it. Actually landed on its front wheel. It's never done that before. It's always landed back wheels first. And that was in part because of the slowing momentum. Basically, it's kind of like if you're going up, if you're on a dirt bike and you're going up on a double or a triple, you got to goose it right on the takeoff. Well, if you cut throttle on the takeoff, you're gonna, nose in. And in this case, it had enough momentum that it landed, thank goodness. But it was pretty rough.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, you talk to any freestyle motocross guy, or anytime you hit a jump, I mean, you need that extra. You usually stab the throttle right, right before the lip to get everything, to get the front end up, to get things moving. And you had to be a second there where you were in the truck going, oh crap, you know what I mean? But at that point, you're committed to it. What do you do?
Yeah, you're along for the ride. Once you decide that you're going for it, you're going for it. There's no there's no really pulling back. And also at that time, it was the cutout of the gas was too late, to pull away or to pull out. So and something similar had happened, because we did it before at Lake Elsinore, and the governor caused the same problem. Because we did a bunch of practice runs and everything was fine. And then as I went up to do the hot run, it cut out. So we're actually going away from the GPS governor. We've got a couple of different ideas as to how we're going to do it. But to the extent that we could take the two main variables out and automate them, we'd like to do that. But it has proven to be difficult to do. But I did want to say, based upon that, there is a promoter down in Mexico basically, they're kind of like the Nitro Circus, I guess you could say, of Mexico. It's called X-Pilots. And they were excited about it and have signed up to do 7 barrel rolls in stadiums throughout Mexico over the next several months. So
yeah,
what's interesting, what's going to be really interesting and exciting about that is the barrel roll is going to have to be done in a stadium, so you're going to have to kind of come into the stadium. You've got about 150 feet to line up and hit your marks and be at the right speed. You're going to fly for, you know, a little over 100 feet, and then you're going to land, and you've got about another 150 feet to stop. So, and it's going to be at nighttime under the lights with, you know, anywhere from 50 to 80,000 people. So it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's going to definitely be pretty tight quarters there. So, before we get on to talking about torque, I did want to ask, because, you know, obviously I know, you know, you're involved in a lot. Tell us a little bit about Wild Man Bites. I know, you know, with this barrel roll, you know, we see the pictures on, you know, social media. And here's this big sign that says Wild Man Bites. Now, this is a side company, a side project of yours, correct?
Yeah, what it is, you know, I'm originally from South Africa, and if you want to endear yourself or basically win over a South African immediately, you give them the South African jerky, which down there is called biltong, and it's much more of a cultural iconic thing. It's very ingrained in the population down there, and it's a style of jerky. It's not really a jerky. It's something, but it's pretty similar. Anyway, I wanted to, you know, I'm also an avid cook, baker, and chef, I guess you could say. So I wanted to have a product that, you know, I've been looking around for and haven't been able to find. And so what I did was I took this recipe and worked with a friend of mine who also he's also part of the crew at the races, another guy from South Africa, and between the two of us we took this base recipe and then we added potato chip flavors to try to make it more of a tasty and have it be more of a crossover snack product. So because there's times when I go into the convenience store and I'm like, I don't want a potato chip. I don't want some jerky. I don't know what I want. I just know I want something good. And so, this is my solution to I want something good, and it's kind of a crossover product. So it's somewhere in between a potato chip and jerky.
Yeah. Where can people find it? I know online the website, correct?
Right now it is, yes, because we just it took us a little over a year to develop it and figure it, get it to the point where that we're happy with it. We got the USDA approval. We've got a kitchen set up in Torrance, California that you have to have it inspected and lots of hoops you have to jump through. But, yes, we're finally at the point where we're ready to get that out to the public. So right now it's just available over the website, but we are – in the process of setting up distribution and getting it out there so that it can be at convenience stores as well.
Awesome. Now, this is what, everybody wants to know about. Obviously your 2014 plans, you go to Prim and right out of the box, you come away with a win. I believe right now you're, in a points battle with Johnny Greaves. I mean, let's talk about Prim. I mean, it's got to be exciting for you to, come out in the opening race weekend and walk away with a win.
Yes, and that's something which everybody works towards. All the teams work towards that, is starting the year very well. And every year that basically has somewhat eluded my program. And a lot of things have to kind of come together for us to be in this type of a position, which is where we really should be, because my team is run by Steve Barlow, and he has a history of having very good results, due to various reasons, we haven't been able to get off on that good foot. But this season, you know, we're able to do that, and it's in part due to having the right crew, having a depth of crew, a knowledgeable, motivated, enough guys on the truck, part of that was Steve Barlow, stepping away from running a truck and actually focusing on the race, on my race program, and on my teammate Mark Kwame's race program, and less, less on his program, because it's difficult to manage your own truck, drive, and also manage other people's trucks as well as in the Pro 4. Pro 4 is a lot. I mean, it's double the amount of work and attention that a Pro 2 needs. So it's a boatload of work. And when you've got multiple Pro 4s on a team, it basically takes your undivided attention. And then on top of it, it's a new truck. It's got a rear geometry which isn't the normal four link. It's got a front geometry which isn't the normal front diff setup. So there's quite a few new things on the vehicle which need to be dialed in and made to work in unison. So basically, last year was a debacle in terms of getting that. It was a new truck last year, but we weren't able to get it basically to live in the timely fashion. We were waiting on parts before the season, which never arrived, and then that put us behind schedule, and it's a cascading effect of not being ready. Well, now we're ready, so we're able to put our best foot forward, and that's just what we did, and came out swinging, and now in the points lead with Johnny. Johnny actually, he won both races the last time we were here at Prim. And so, he pretty much is somewhat dialed into that track. And this past race weekend, the whole race weekend, we were swapping, top, whatever, fastest laps, starting in practices and then going into the qualification and then the other practice. And then I know Scott Douglas, he did a really good lap in that new format where we had the shootout. But other than that, it was pretty much me and Johnny swapping the fast lap. And then in the race, he was running really strong. I could hang with him, but in order to get around him, he needed to make a mistake of some sort. So, he's still running really strong, and I think that we're right there, competitive. I'd like to see us even more competitive so that we could dominate, but it's definitely – it set the stage for a nice, exciting season between me and Johnny and Scott and also the Jenkins boys and my teammate and whoever else we can, whatever other top competitors we can get to come out there and fight it out.
Yeah, and coming off a race like that, the first race of the year, and obviously getting a win, but having a great battle with some great guys. I mean, it's got to get you excited, to go to Charlotte. I mean, it's got to get the blood pumping. And I mean, you have a bad race weekend and it's kind of like, oh yeah, I got to go to a race in a couple of weeks. You come off a win and it's like, all right, let's get in the truck. Let's do this again,
Absolutely. Monday morning after that race, I've got a whole game plan of what we need to do. And we're having conference call with Steve about, the upcoming plans. Yeah, we're very excited about starting the season off strong and making sure we go into the next race and carry that momentum. So, yes, we're definitely motivated and excited, and it's infectious within the team. I mean, everybody's putting their best foot forward. The mechanics are really listening for that, any additional little gremlin or anything that sounds out of place, and they're all over it. I mean, with winning – gets more attention, so that the vehicle gets more attention. Everything becomes more scrutinized, and that in turn typically means less bugs that show up. So it is a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you start out strong, then you're going to get that extra boost of everybody, all eyes within the team, looking at your vehicle and making sure that it's running tip top.
Yeah, for sure. So talking about 2014, obviously I know, you know, especially at this point, you're pretty dedicated to the Torque Series and running for a championship. I know last year you dabbled a little bit with the Stadium Super Trucks. I know you've got an X Games invite to run Stadium Super Trucks at X Games. Any chance we're going to see you in one of those trucks and or at X Games this year?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I'm very excited about Torque this year. I think that, you know, BJ, who took over Torque, is doing a really good job. So I'm very happy with the prospects on that. And I tell you, that Stadium Super Trucks that Robbie put together last year, that was a success. You know, there was a few things that, you know, in hindsight, you can look back and say, oh, you know, why did we leave the stadium? This is why we left the stadiums and the money and everything else. But that was, some of those tracks were ridiculous, but they were fun, and the racing was exciting. And my interest lies in doing the stadium trucks in stadiums. I'm not, you know, a big fan of running them out on asphalt racetracks. I just don't know if it showcases what these trucks can do. The way I'd like to see, you know, I think that the spirit of how it got started, and I think Robbie's probably you know, working his way to get to back to the stadiums, and running in the stadiums is expensive, so that's probably, you know, what's precluding that from getting in the stadiums. As far as X Games, I do have an invitation. I am interested in that. You know, but mostly my focus lies with relates to the stadium is to Stadium Super Trucks is to run in the stadiums.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, you know, looking at his schedule, I think, talking with Robbie, I do agree. I think, you know, running in the stadiums is ridiculously expensive. And I think he's, you know, some of those West Coast races, I think maybe he's got an opportunity to fill those stadiums a little more than he does, say, the Midwest or East Coast. And hopefully, you know, I know he's got a couple of to-be-determined dates at the end of his schedule. Hopefully we see him, you know, back in stadiums here in the Southwest.
Yeah, I mean, that. I got a video that I put out. It was like a Ricky Bobby comparison video, and that pretty much sums up the Stadium Super Trucks and for me. I mean, there's a lot of action, a lot of fun. You get beat up. The fans are close. They can get to see everything. I look back on it on it quite fondly, and I'm eager to, because you know, I was on board as soon as he came out with that whole series. I was on board, and I was pushing hard to be a part of it. I even ran the super buggy in it as well, and it's good stuff. I mean, it's definitely the future is in the stadiums, and to the extent that you can have it where you something like the Coliseum, where you jump around the turnstiles, you go out the stadium, come back in, or you go through the tunnels and come back in, and just kind of mix it up. I mean, maybe even like at Sam Boyd or at some of these other stadiums where you have more opportunity to do that. I think that's very exciting, and I'd like to see a lot more of that happening.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air with me today, Adrian. And anybody you want to thank before we let you go?
Sure, yeah. And, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody that is going to call in. I mean, I know it's 10, 11 a.m. there right now. So happy to speak to anybody who's calling on the phone. But, of course, I'd like to thank my sponsors, which is Realtree Outdoor Energy, Wildman Bites, Beef Snacks, try it. If you can also go out there and buy some King Shocks, Maxxis Tires, I mean, both of those are very good products that we rely on heavily and have had a lot of success with.
Yeah, for sure. Great great supporters of off-road short course and desert racing as well. And, yeah, appreciate you taking the time to come on air. And, yeah, we'll definitely have to catch up later this year. We need to do it more often than once every year and a half.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thanks a lot, Adrian.
Bye-bye.
That was Adrian Chenny, a Torque short course racer, and first person ever to pull off the barrel roll. If you haven't seen the video, you need to see it now. Go to The Wild Man, Adrian Cheney's Facebook page. He's got the videos up there. I'm sure you can. I mean, everybody. If you're a automotive news outlet, when Adrian pulled off that barrel roll down there at the Baja 1000 last year, they picked up the story. Just put in Adrian Cheney barrel roll in Google, and you're going to get millions. And I'm saying that seriously. Millions of sites pull up pictures, videos, whatever. You want to talk about a successful marketing campaign? Like I said, Wild Man Bites. You know, there's this big Wild Man Bites poster in the background when he does this flip, and I tell you what, he got Wild Man Bites on every single automotive website in pretty much in the world for a couple of weeks there. So Adrian Cheney, a master marketer with Wild Man Bites, and always fun to watch him out in the Torque Series, and stoked to see him come away with a victory. And in the opening weekend there at Prim, I think he's going to have that new truck dialed this year, and it's going to make for some exciting Torque action. Definitely looking forward to Charlotte here in, week and a half, I think. So, the dirt track at Charlotte, going to be a great one for the Torque Series. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have a quick interview with Brian Olashak of Racetech Seats, and we're also going to be talking Supercross and a little bit of Formula Off-Road, as well as some news coming out of the X Games, as well as the top 50 female action sports athletes in the world. So lots of content still to go on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. Stay tuned.
Leonardo da Vinci, man, inventor, genius. An unusual, unforgettable, extraordinary exhibition with 23 exact replicas of his masterpieces and 60 models of da Vinci's inventions, crafted by the Italian family trusted with da Vinci's living legacy for over two centuries. Now on exhibit through April 22nd, only at Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona. For more information, go to bluewaterfun.com/da Vinci or call 866-636-0171.
The number one off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet now has its own app. The Down and Dirty Radio Show official app is now available in the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, and Amazon Kindle Store. Just search Down and Dirty Radio Show, and you'll have all the latest news, results, and blockbuster interviews from off-road, rally, thrifting, supercross, and snowcross at your fingertips. Hours of interviews from the best drivers and athletes on earth, such as Travis Pastrana, Ken Block, Tanner Faust, Brian Deegan, Robbie Gordon, and Jolene Van Vuit are yours at the touch of a button. Download today and never miss an interview again. Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer. Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and man, we've been rolling with the interviews today. None other than Adrian Cheney, the wild man on air, Formula Drift Long Beach winner Chris Forsberg, and Formula D vet. And right now we're going to roll right into Brian Olszak with Racetech Seats. All right, we're here with Brian Olszak with Racetech Seats USA. How's everything going, Brian?
Good, Jim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing doing really well, and I know, you know, obviously we talked with David Black here, I think about 6 months back, maybe about V8 Supercars time last year when they came to Austin, and now we're following up with you, and just see how everything's going in the world of Racetech Seats.
Racetech's doing well. We last February, we made a move from the West Coast to the Carolinas, and we've started to settle in now, and I love where we're at, and the weather was a little tough this year, but we've made it through, and we're ready for the races to really kind of kick off, and I'm glad the guys are starting to consider Racetech for their new truck and car builds here in the States.
Yeah, you know, you guys moving to the Mooresville, Charlotte area. I mean, that literally is the mecca of motorsports, or one of the meccas of motorsports here in the country. I would say that and Indianapolis, obviously. So it had been a great move for you guys moving there. I mean, really right into the heart of the consumer base.
Yeah, we've really close to a few tracks. We've got Virginia International Raceway just under 3 hours north of us, and we've got Road Atlanta just over 3 hours south, and then of course less than a day's drive down to Sebring, and we've got tracks all over the place for regional type of road racing, and we're actually starting to make some inroads with the truck market too.
Yeah, and I know speaking of the truck market, you were recently at the MIT 400. What did you take away from that experience? I know you'd been to off-road race in the past. You personally have run, I believe, the Nevada 1000. What did you take away from the MIT 400?
It was a great experience. It was really kind of a carnival type of craft fair, vendor market, truck show, and heck, everything it rolled in between vendors and participants and the trucks and the shows. And man, I tell you what, it was pretty eye opening. It was great to be a part of the action, and we had a lot of positive experience while I was there.
Well, and I know with Racetech, obviously you guys have a huge huge following in road racing. Obviously involved in drag racing. I know you guys are involved in rally and also sponsor the Bilstein Southwest Rally Cup Series here in the United States. What have you guys learned in other motorsports that now that can be applied to off-road racing? Because I know your seat is a little bit different than everything else that's on the market.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's realistically, off-road racing and desert off-road racing really isn't much different from the safety standpoint. It's not if, but when you're going to have an off. And when you do, you got to be properly prepared and make sure that any on-course or on-track impact that you're prepared for it with the proper equipment, the right gear, and, you need to make sure that you got what it takes to survive an impact and get up and walk away able to go home and live to race another day.
Yeah. Well, and I know, your seats, obviously you guys have, an amazing video you put out with David talking about the seats and what makes Racetech different. I know, for me, and obviously I have one in my trophy truck, the biggest thing was the way these mount on the rear. There's no other seat on the market that I know of that's actually mounting in two different locations, both on the bottom of the seat and the rear. And what does that bring to the table as far as driver safety in, say, a crash?
Well, basically we call that back mounting. Basically the seat is mounted not only at the floor at 4 points in each corner, but also at the back of the seat, at shoulder level, tied into the roll cage. This really makes the seat an integral part of the vehicle's chassis, and really improves how the truck behaves, and it serves three functions, really. First, the seat's more rigid. It maintains its shape and position during an impact and helps you keep your body in alignment. And, you know, your harness belts help stay in place at your shoulders, retain your shoulders in place. And with the Hans, you know, it really gives you a maximum amount of survivability instead of impact. Also, the back-mounted seat also ensures that your head remains a safe distance from slamming into any part of the roll cage or the chassis. That's the first item. Also, secondly, the more rigid and stable seating position you're at, you know, you've experienced this firsthand that the driver is able to feel the car better than he did before with a seat that's got some flex or some bounce into it. And thirdly, you know, by having the seat tied to the cage, the seat almost becomes part of the structural element of the chassis, stiffening it up quite a bit.
Yeah, and I know, you know, obviously you guys study crashes, you analyze crashes. I mean, you know, and obviously, you know, your seats have definitely, you know, undergone some revisions over the years. I mean, what are some of the biggest challenges in keeping a driver contained in a crash? Because, I mean, you see some of these videos online, and, I mean, you know, it almost seems like drivers are flopping all over the car. And you know, what are some of the biggest issues facing, you know, driver containment?
Well, I think the drivers still think they know it all, and actually, to be honest, they not everybody knows everything about the proper gear, and sometimes it feels like drivers, you know, we try to educate them as best we can, but there's been some horrific wrecks in the last 3 or 4 years, and matter of fact, I watched an online video on YouTube last night of a short course driver actually come out of his seatbelt and bounce around in the cockpit before jumping back into his suspension seat, and that just blew me away that he wasn't tossed out through the windshield or the back window, back glass. So drivers really need to, you know, be open to new ideas and things that they may not necessarily be accustomed to or acclimated to. And, RaceX been around for over 20 years now. We've seen many crashes, both, you know, real life and simulated. So, you know, while the frequency of motorsport fatalities in some categories is starting to decrease, but, you know, we still feel that there's a lot of room for driver safety to improve over time. The more we can educate and get drivers to consider the safety, the security, and the super comfort of sitting in a race tech seat, they'll definitely help. They'll feel comfortable and be able to concentrate more on driving and less about trying to keep up and stationary in the middle of the seat while they're going into corners.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I know, you know, obviously you guys do a ton of different events. I mean, you know, you guys were at V8 Supercars last year. You've been at the Mint 400. As far as the rest of this year, where can people catch up with you guys? What events are on tap for race tech seats here in the United States?
Well, funny you should say that. Actually, tomorrow I'm heading up to Virginia International Raceway. We are actually a BMW Club Racing contingency sponsor for this season. And so I'm going to be chatting with some individuals there and meeting with some of the administrative folks that run that series. And we're also a Porsche Club of America contingency sponsor for Club Racing as well this season. So we're going to be at select events, particularly mostly on the East Coast. We also are involved with drag racing on the Pro Mod side. We've got a few select chassis manufacturers that are now using our product religiously when they're doing new builds. And, you know, the last couple of years, if any of your listeners watch any Pro Mod dragsters or NHRA Pro Mods, you know, there's been some horrific cars go up and over the concrete walls and fly down towards the timing lights. And, you know, luckily there haven't been any fatalities. And on top of that, you know, if a driver's using one of our seats, it helps lessen the risk of bodily injury. They're able to get up and walk away and, you know, be able to go home to their family and go to work on Monday. That's what's really important about using a Race 6C.
Yeah, and speaking of drag racing, it just seems to me like, you can have an off-road crash or a road racing crash or, but it seems like drag racing, when they crash big, it's not a small accident.
Yeah, there's just so much momentum, so much torque and horsepower, especially if you got an engine that's putting out over 15 to 2,000 horsepower. All that momentum's got to go somewhere, and a properly designed cage, it's engineered correctly along with the proper safety gear to contain that driver. It's going to give him the best chance to help eliminate risk of injury.
For sure. Well, I appreciate you taking the time today, Brian, to come on air. And where can people find more information out about Race Tech Seats?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Our website is Racetech, RACETECH-USA.com. We also have a banner ad running on your Down and Dirty radio show website as well, so they could see the banner ad there. And then our phone number into our home office here is area code 704-278-8388. So, Jim, I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come on the show today and chat with you a little bit and help some of your listeners learn a little bit about Race Tech and our philosophy on seat safety.
All right, and I know you guys have that YouTube video I spoke about earlier, and we'll definitely get that up on the Facebook page so people can take a look at it and see what makes Race Tech different.
All right, thanks so much, Jim.
All right, thanks, Brian. All right, that was Brian Olashak with Race Tech Seats, great partner of mine in my trophy truck and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and makes some phenomenal seats, and definitely worth checking out that YouTube video I'm telling you about. I'll post it on social media later today, but definitely want to check it out. I mean, there's so many different hard shell seat manufacturers in the world. You can go down the list. I'm not going to name them off here, but Race Tech is the only seat in the world that both mounts at the bottom and at the back. And trust me, because I've been in probably, I'm trying to count off the top of my head, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 different seat manufacturers in the past 5, 6, 7 years. And Race Tech, I can tell you that the stability with it, the only other seats that have that, the no flex would be, one of the seats was Chromoly Frames, one of the suspension seat brands, like a Mastercraft. But Race Tech mounting at the back and at the bottom, it's becomes a structural piece of the race vehicle. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. And no flex, you feel so secure, so safe in these things, just absolutely awesome. So thanks to Brian for giving that interview. And we got a ton of stuff to roll into, though. First off, the Arctic Man, talked about it before, Levi Lavalle, tackling the Arctic Man up there in Alaska. And I got to say, it didn't fare so well for Mr. Levi. What the Arctic Man is this hybrid event. You take world-class skiers, world-class snowmobile racers, and you go up to Alaska. What it is there's a 2-mile downhill ski run. The skiers start at the top. They run down a mountain 2 miles to the bottom. And once they get to the bottom, there's a snowmobile racer sitting at the bottom. They grab a ski rope like you would have behind a boat, behind the snowmobile. And then the snowmobile racer takes off towing the skier all the way to the top of another peak, which is a couple miles away. And then once they get up to the top of that peak, the skier then goes off the peak all the way down the other side, all the way to the bottom a couple miles in, and there's the finish line. So it's a unique hybrid event. I tell you what, it takes some balls, absolutely ballsy. And you definitely want to pull it up online and check out some of these videos. But Levi didn't finish the race. Something happened with his snowmobile, and he didn't finish the race. I think we'll definitely see him back there next year, but total bummer for Mr. Levi Lavalle and the Arctic Man. Talking about some of the events happening over the weekend, obviously Formula Off-Road, as we talked about, they were in action at Long Beach. I watched personally on the SST live feed. I know it'll be on NBC Sports at some point, but talk about a wild one. Robbie Gordon moving from third place to first place. We had it was a wild one with Sheldon Creed and Viso. battling it out, and you know, they're just back and forth. Looked like Sheldon was going to take it, and then I think it was on the last lap, Sheldon out of nowhere yard sales it by himself into a tire barrier, drops back to fourth, ended up picking up a position to get third, but it was basically Sheldon's race to lose, and he lost. Robbie sitting back there in third ends up with about one or two laps to go, passing both Viso and Sheldon, who were battling it out. Basically took each other out, and Robbie slips by, takes the win. And Robbie, he's 2 for 3 this year in Formula Off-Road. So, yeah, it ended up being Robbie, Viso, then Sheldon Creed was your 1-2-3, and definitely a wild one, and it's going to make for some good TV, let's put it that way. Then we also had Supercross, and you know Supercross. We're getting down to the wire. Ryan Villopoto had a chance to lock things up in Seattle, and couldn't quite do it. Came away with a win, but at this point in time, it's really just a technicality why he hasn't locked it up. Basically, he'd have to not make the main for the next two rounds, and James Bubba Stewart would have to win them for Stewart to take the championship. Probably not going to happen. Ryan Villopoto is going to be your 2014 Supercross champion, but you know, it's making for some entertaining racing. First off, let's hit the 250s. Cole Seeley taking the win, leading the thing wire to wire, doing what he had to do to narrow that gap with Jason Anderson. Jason Anderson in second. And I tell you, that second place was hard earned. He was wild all night long, off the track, on the track, dumping it in corners, all over the place. Amazing that he got second. It was actually a feat in itself that he got second. Justin Hill in third, Dean Wilson in fourth. Dean got the whole shot. And, you know, I'll tell you what, he dumped it, you know, having a rough one. And, you know, he dumped it in one of the heats as well. And, you know, Dean Wilson, fourth place, it was, you know, could have been a lot worse for Mr. Wilson. Jesse Nelson in fifth, Zach Osborne sixth, Cooper Webb seventh, eighth went to Jake Canada, ninth Malcolm Stewart, tenth went to Shane McElrath. So your 250 West point standings, remember we're talking West, not the East. Right now, it's all Jason Anderson at the top, Cole Seeley in second with 170 points, Justin Hill in third, 139, and Dean Wilson in fourth with 138. So we've got a battle between Hill and Wilson for that third spot and a battle between Anderson and Seeley for that top spot. And it's all going to go down to the showdown in Vegas here in a couple of weeks. It's going to be one you don't want to miss. We're going to probably be determining 250 East and West champions in Vegas. So moving on to the 450s, our results for the 450s, like I said before, Ryan Villopoto did what he had to do, got the whole shot, and I got to make mention, he didn't even transfer out of the heats. He had to go to the semis to get his spot, didn't even get a good gate choice out of the box. He's having rough starts. Basically got the whole shot, you know, and comes out somehow. I guess Kenny Roczen technically got the whole shot, but Ryan Villopoto really came out of that first corner in the lead and never turned back, and just dominating like Ryan Villopoto can. And James Bubba Stewart in second. I got to tell you, James Stewart, he was wild. It was a wild one for James Bubba Stewart. You know, I think he was trying to make up the time so much on Villopoto. At one point, he just said, he's like, I had to tone it down. He was going to yard sale it. And he's like, I just had to take the second place. He's like, I was going to kill myself trying to get that win. But I got to tell you, he showed some balls in that main event. He literally left it all on the line. And, you know, at the beginning of this year, you guys will know I was a James Bubba Stewart doubter. But you know what? He's changed my tune. I'm not going to say I'm a fan of his quite yet, but James Bubba Stewart's earned my respect this year. He's riding like the Bubba Stewart of old. And I tell you what, he has earned my respect this year for the way he's riding his bike. Definitely bringing his A game each and every weekend into the Monster Energy Supercross. Brian Dungey finishing up in third, Eli Tomac fourth, Justin Barsha in fifth, Trey Kennard sixth, Kenny Roczen seventh, Andrew Short eighth, Josh Hill ninth, and Mike Alessi rounding out your top 10. So your point standings with two to go in the 450s, it's all Ryan Villopoto up top, 318 points, James Bubba Stewart with in second with 270, and Ryan Dungey, 267 points. He is in third. Ryan Dungey mathematically eliminated from the championship, even though he's only 3 points behind James Bubba Stewart. We got James Stewart in second. He's still alive technically for the championship, but he's going to have to win out, and Ryan Villopoto basically has to not make the main for the next two rounds. Not going to say it's not going to happen, but you know what? It's not going to happen. Ryan Villopoto, he's going to lock this thing up here in New Jersey in 2 weeks, and you know, and we're just going to have bragging rights in Las Vegas. But it's still been one heck of a Supercross, you know, season. Recent memory, I can't think of anything that has been this anything that's been this amazing as far as Supercross goes. It's been a battle, you know what I mean, just an absolute battle all year long. Kenny Roczen in fourth, Justin Barcia in fifth, Brayton sixth, Andrew Short seventh, Brock Tickle eighth, Josh Hill ninth, Will Hahn tenth, and still notable, Chad Reed down there at 11th. What's that tell you? Reed had such a great year going that he's hasn't run in, I don't know, how many, almost 10 events now, and he's still almost in the top 10 in points. Chad Reed, definitely what could have been. It's going to be exciting to see him in the outdoors because he's going to be on a mission this year. And I got to tell you, Supercross is not disappointing this year. Two rounds left. You need to be tuned in if you're not already. I don't care if you like NASCAR, IndyCar, what you like to watch. Supercross is the best motorsports on TV right now, bar none. So that leads us into a little bit of X Games talk. First off, some big rumors coming out of the X Games. One, Ricky Johnson, Pro 4 racer Ricky Johnson, he has signed a deal. He announced on his Instagram feed to run a global rallycross car in the X Games. He's going to be teaming up with Red Bull and KMC Wheels to field a car, well, to race a car fielded by Olsberg Motorsports, OMSE, your three-time defending series champion. Talk about an amazing match. Do I want to say match made in heaven? I mean, Ricky Johnson stepping into one of the best rides you could possibly get in global rallycross. It's going to be interesting to see how RJ takes to these GRC cars. But I got to tell you, you know, I think he's definitely going to surprise some people. You know, his teammate Bryce Menzies dabbled in it last year, and I got to tell you, you know, Bryce, definitely disappointing results. But you know, Bryce really, you know, those Dodges weren't quite, you know, up to par with the rest of the field. Would have been nice to see Bryce in one of these Fords, but Ricky Johnson getting the nod for X Games in one of these Fords, and I think Ricky's going to be super competitive, especially if he gets some test time. So you're going to want to watch for that. Also, on the truck side of things, obviously Formula Off-Road running in the X Games. You know, obviously we've announced before Kyle Duke, B.J. Baldwin, they're going to be running in Formula Off-Road for X Games. The big news, I mentioned it in the Chris Forsberg interview, Von Gittin Jr., you know, you're basically one of the faces of Formula Drift. He's going to be running an off-road truck. I don't know. We need to catch up with Von between now and the X Games, that's for sure, because that's some huge news. So Von Gittin Jr. going to be running Formula Off-Road at the X Games. That's some huge news. How's he going to transfer to jump it in four wheels? I think probably quite well. Remember, he's probably the first guy to ever jump a drift car. So, yeah, other big news, ESPN X Games, xgames.com. You're going to go there after today's show. Top 50 female action sports athletes. I got to tell you, I give major props to ESPN for what they did with this list. They opened their eyes. They made a top 50 list that really is amazing. They used their heads. They didn't go with you know, all surfers and skaters. They really embraced action motorsports, and lots of ladies on this list that you're going to know that we've had on air before. Number 11, Vicky Golden. She's going to be running Supercross next year. Got her Supercross license. She's on the list at number 11. Definitely well-deserved. Jolene Van Butte, first lady to backflip a motorcycle, and a good friend of mine and a good friend of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. She taps in at number 19. Number 22, Laia Sanz, the Endurocross champ and dominator. She's at number 22. Number 25, Chrissy Beavis, rally co-driver navigator. She's currently with Travis Pastrana. She went over to the Gazelles Rally with Bethany Hamilton. She's co-rode with Tanner Faust. Definitely deserving at number 25. Maria Forsberg, Endurocross racer at 27 and motocross racer. Number 34, Natalie Reichard. Last year, she navigator for Antoine Lestage. Definitely well-deserving on the list at number 34. Tara Geiger at number 35. Thought Tara might be a little bit higher. Definitely a dominator on a bike, and she's definitely deserved to be on the list. Number 44, this is a big one, Heidi Steele, the first lady of the Desert Assassins, Cameron Steele's wife, first woman ever to run a trophy truck. She taps in at number 44. ESPN, great job for getting her on the list. If I had to complain about anything, two ladies left off the list that maybe deserve spots. Ashley Fiolik, female motocross champ. Where's she at? Corey Weller, First Lady of Short Course, definitely deserve to be on the list, but I'm not complaining. You know, Vicky Golden, Jolene Van Butte, Lia Sons, Chrissy Beavis, Maria Forsberg, Natalie Reichard, Tara Geiger, Heidi Steele, ESPN, you blew my mind with this. Thank you for your eyes and really putting together a list that does these ladies justice. You know, you didn't just pull from what everybody thinks with the snowboarders and you know, the skaters. You really opened your eyes. You got some rally navigators in there. You got Heidi Steele. You got a lot of ladies on the bikes. Good job, ESPN. Hats off to you for that. Upcoming shows, we've got Tanner Faust next week on air. That's going to be huge. We've got Lucas Oil, Elsinore, Charlotte, Score, Supercross from New Jersey, all that coming up in 2 weeks. And it's going to be a big show next week, though, with Tanner Faust. Big thanks to Rigid Industries, Dirtfish Rally School, Arizona Ford Dealers, UPR.com, Blue Water Resort and Casino, Race Tech USA, Speed Energy Drink, Chris Forsberg, Adrian Cheney, Brian Olashak from Race Tech Seats. Give me a shout on social media, at JimBeaver15 on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/DownAndDirtyShow or DownAndDirtyShow.com. And if you don't have it already, you need to get it, our app. It's available on Apple iTunes, Google Play. It's available in the Amazon Kindle store. Get it now. Download it. Get all these great interviews to go. And I got to tell you, it's been a wild week. Lots of great interviews. We'll be back next week with none other than Tanner Faust. So as always, have a great week.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.